We had two sessions that Pastor D shared on, and this morning I'm going to focus on a particular point, which is the prophetic action. You may go to the other slides. And the scripture that Pastor D started with was from Matthew 16, verse 18 to 19. I'm not going to read it now, but I'm going to get back to it. You may skip that slide as well. But those were the four. So there was from healing to leading, from leading from the heart, and I'm doing prophetic action. And then next week, there will be a session. Leona will do the possessing the gates. So if you didn't get to listen to the two sermons, if you are not here, I would recommend you to download the sermon. It was really blessed. And so that you understand what basically God is doing. And I believe sometimes as being God's sheep, it's very important for us to hear what God is saying. Even as we're starting a new year, many times we can do many things by habits, but it's very important for us to intentionally engage with what God is birthing in our midst. There is always something that God is saying. I remember last year, somewhere in November, I went through all the sermons that we had in the year, and it was amazing to see how God was actually speaking to us. Different speakers, but you can see how the Spirit of the Lord was leading us. So I would love to recommend you to do that. And on my next slide, the whole conversation started with Abraham. When God came to Abraham, the Lord told him, well, you have to offer Isaac as an offering. And it was his only son. Most of us know the story. And that was a challenging one, but him and his son, he said to the servant, we're going to go to worship. And then they went to Mount Moriah, offered him. An angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, don't kill the child. And right in that particular context, may go to the next slide, the Lord makes a promise to him because of his obedience. One of the promises that God said to him, he said that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of your enemies, of his enemies. So basically, in this particular scripture, God comes to Abraham, and he really honors his faith, calls him his friends, and he makes a very significant promise that the seed of Abraham shall possess the gate of their enemies. You can actually see even in Genesis 23, when Rebecca is released to go marry Isaac, there is the same promise that is spoken over her, that her descendants shall possess the gates of the enemies. And if you read this scripture prophetically, this scripture, I'm not going to have time to go through that because that's not my main scripture, but it speaks about Christ being the seed, actually, of Abraham. In fact, in Galatians 3, verse 29, it says, if you belong to Christ, you are Abraham's seed. So whoever is in Christ, but that translation says, if you belong to Christ, you are Abraham's seed. So basically, the seed that had to possess the gates, primarily prophetically speaking, was Christ. So let's go to the next slide. And this is in Revelation, when John sees now Christ sitting on his throne. And in this moment, he says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, fear not. I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. So Jesus, when he died, he resurrected. Now John is having this revelation when he sees Christ sitting on his throne. Now, if we speak in terms of death, when does death take place in the history of humankind? We know that death took authority over the humankind through the sin of Adam, when the first Adam sinned against God. But now the worst is that the enemy not only had access in his life through death, but he also took the keys of death. And now when Jesus died, to redeem Adam, to redeem the world, to redeem us, one of the victories that he did, one of the things that he did is that he took the keys back, the keys of death, and heads. Other translation use the word grave. So let's go. Now, coming back to the scripture, the original scripture in Matthew 16, when Jesus is having a conversation with Peter, he says, when Peter had this revelation about who Christ was, you know, in this moment, he received the download from God. And Jesus said to him, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Because now, the vision we saw of John sees Jesus already sitting on the throne, glorified in heaven. And in heaven, there is no death. Nobody dies there. Because they are in the presence of the living God. They are actually in eternity. There is no time there. So the keys of the kingdom, Jesus entrusts them to his embassy, to his government agency, to his ecclesia called the church. Jesus specifically entrusted the keys of the kingdom through his resurrection. He commissioned his church. Now, what's the importance of the key? The key is to unlock, is to open up, is to have access into, perhaps there was a man in Isaiah 22 speaks about the keys of David. There was an officer who held the keys of the city of David. And Revelation speaks about Jesus holding the keys of David. So keys speaks of unlocking. It also speaks about authority. So the kingdom of God, you will notice this theme is throughout Jesus' terms, Jesus' conversation with the disciples. Jesus often spoke about the kingdom and the keys of the kingdom. And one of the keys of the kingdom is that which we call the prophetic prophecy. Prophecy is one of the keys of the kingdom. It's one of the things that unlocks the things in the spiritual realm. Now, if you ask me, what is prophecy? Prophecy is a very huge term. It's a very huge concept. But in prophecy comes two things, or it comes in two folds. There's the foretelling, and then there's the forthtelling. Foretelling speaks about speaking about the future. Speaking into the future. For example, Isaiah prophesied about the birth of Jesus. But the foretelling, it's actually causing the future. For example, we see Ezekiel sees a valley of the dry bones. And in that vision, the Lord says to him, prophesy over these dry bones. As he prophesied, things started changing right in that moment. So it's actually changing the present through prophecy, by using God's word and God's will. So now, those who are gifted in the prophetic or who are called in the prophetic, some of them operate kind of like in three dimensions. You have those who are more into insight kind of dimension, where they are very good at seeing what God is doing actually now, what God is doing in the context of the now. Then you have those who have a sense of foresight. They can see things in the future. They can see. Some people are wired like that. For example, Liana is like that. She can see someone. I remember she sent me a message when I was still a newcomer in the church, a visitor or another visitor. I was just a new person in the church. So she sent me a text, a word saying, "Lord God," I wasn't even in the band. She said, "No, God is going to use you in this church. You know, here I am, I'm standing in front of you. You're going to use your voice in the church," and all of that. So she could see, you know, some people have that ability to speak in the future. And then you have those who have an oversight kind of ability where they are able to see what God is doing now, but also knowing to reposition people in the right place in the moment to oversee. I'm not talking about overseeing like in a business term, but I'm talking about seeing what God is doing and knowing what to do. For example, Joseph, he had this interpretation of the vision or the dream that Pharaoh had. And right in the interpretation, he was able to give the wisdom in terms of who to appoint and what to do in the moment. So remember I said there is a foretelling with the ability to cause the future. And one of the things that flows from that is what is that which we call prophetic action. So what is a prophetic action? Prophetic action, it is an act in the natural that has the ability to cause a shift in the spiritual realm, which then manifests in the natural. That is a prophetic action. Remember, I spoke about causing the future? That speaks about the authority of the believer. It's like the word authority. Theologians often speak about two terms. They speak about the exousia and the dynamis power. The exousia speaks about the authority of the believer. Even Jesus, as he healed the sick, many times to speak about the supernatural power of God, where God comes, supernaturally intervenes. For example, Jesus took the bread and he multiplied the bread. That was such an authority that Jesus had from God, supernatural, miraculous power from God, from impossibilities. Then there were moments where Jesus would take authority, for example, over a demon because he saw someone that was oppressed. That is the exousia. And as believers, there are moments where God supernaturally comes and intervenes. You know, whether you have faith, you do not have faith, God comes in and he does it. And then there are moments where God calls us to operate in faith. When we act in faith, then there are things that happens. And one of the things that happens is that which we call the prophetic action. For example, and remember, the Bible says in Amos, it says that the Lord does nothing without revealing to his servants, the prophets. And interesting enough, the verse after that says, the lion has roared, who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy? And I believe one of the prophetic action is roaring. I believe it's one of the prophetic action. There are people when they pray in tongues. There are people that I know that when they pray in tongues, sometimes you will feel like this is something else. Like there is a guy from Gardens, when he prays in tongues, I feel like he's cutting things. You know, I believe it's one of the prophetic actions which unlock things. So I'm going to use the first example, Moses, which we all know. One day, The Israelites were fighting against the Amalekites. They were on their way to the promised land. These are people who just stood up, but the Amalekites were actually descendants of Saul, the twin brother of Jacob. And remember, there was a rivalry between the two, and these were his descendants. And while the Israelites were on the way to the promised land, these people suddenly just stood up. They wanted to resist them. And this is a reality that many Christians we face, where there are certain things in our lives we don't know when did they start it and how did it start it and why did it start. Many times in our lives, there are situations where we ask ourselves, when did it start? Why did it start? We chase the demon, nothing. We pray, nothing. Counseling, nothing. Accountability, nothing. The world, and these are the situations that the Israelites, they had so many enemies that they did not provoke necessarily. No scripture says they went to the Amalekite and wanted to do some things there or whatever it is. No, these people just stood up and they wanted to resist them to go into the promised land. And now, when they were fighting them, Moses did a very powerful action. He went in a specific place. The scripture says he held up his hand. He lifted his hands. And whenever his hands were up, the Israelites had victories. Whenever he lowered his hand, they lost. Can you believe it? Imagine there is a war in Johannesburg or somewhere. If Marion sits here and she does this, then South Africa wins. Whenever she lowers it, there is chaos. In the natural, it doesn't really make sense. But what happens? That physical movement creates a shift in the spiritual realm, which then releases favor over the army of Israel. And the kingdom of God, people, it's spiritual. It is spiritual. The things of God are spiritual. We cannot just ascertain them with our brain. And this is very interesting. Now, this is the story of Elisha with this king. Tells him, well, there is a war. Now, you have to strike the ground. Then what happened is this king, he strikes the ground 3 times. He said, take the arrows. And the king took them. Elisha told him, strike the ground. He struck the ground 3 times. And he stopped. And Elisha said, well, why did you stop? You should have struck the ground even 6 times. So we could win at least 3 times. So in other words, he limited himself in the natural because of the amount of time he struck the ground. Can you believe it? This is something that, imagine there is someone that must be healed in Hotezkir Hospital. And then, maybe let's say there is a, let me just use this example of the war. Let's say there is a war in Congo, but now the Lord says to me, Matthew, I want you to take this bottle and eat on this table, and as much as you're going to eat it, you're going to have much victory, all right? Then I do two times, the Lord is like, well, you should have done many times. But what's the connection between the natural, just a little thing like this, and suddenly there are things happening? Well, obedience. In other words, in order for us to see the move of God, there should always be God's contribution and our contribution. God won't just do things for the sake of doing. The Lord expects of us the willingness to be part of that which is birthing. And I believe one of the prophetic action is lifting our hands. So there are certain physical movements that can be involved to unlock certain things that God wants to do. So sometimes when we deal with our personal struggles, when we believe there is a certain destiny, there are things that God is about to do with us, it is very important to ask God, God, what do you want me to do? Many times when we are in trouble, we just pray. We sing. Yes, there is a place for it. But there are times to ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do? Sometimes the Lord might just say to you, I just want you to take a walk. And by the time you take a walk, the Lord heals you. But if we box God, we will not experience the move of God. Let's go. And that's an example of victories where people had physical actions which unlocked victory for nations. It looks like it's not real. It is real, right? The real stories. Next slide. Territorial conquest. We know all of us the story of Joshua. And this is, I love this story, because now they were facing Jericho, this big wall, massive wall, like crazy people. The Lord said to them, you guys must march. And I love the story, the sequence of everything they did. Now Jericho was shut up inside and outside because of the people of Israel. None went out, none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all the men of war going around the city. Once that shall you do for 6 days. Next slide, please. That's all. Yeah, that's all. Yeah, 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horn before the ark. And on the 7th day, you shall march around the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow the trumpets. And when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, then all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall flat, and the people shall go up, everyone straight before him. This is very interesting. Imagine the Lord says, well, we need to take over, let's say, PE. And suddenly there is a war at PE. And the Lord says, well, Shofar on the bush, let's come back to the next, to the previous slide. The Lord says we must march around the city. Now, we're not marching because it's cool, because the Lord said suddenly, and Evan Hayden and Malaya and Emily, everyone watching, walking. We're walking around the city for 6 days for only one reason, because the Lord spoke. Can you believe that? This is crazy before the world, but this is the life of faith. There is no way we can really do prophetic action if we don't operate in faith. And what I like in this story is that there wasn't just marching. There were people playing trumpets. There were people singing. And there were amount of times where the Lord said, well, you shall march 6 times. There was a sequence of things. So everybody needed to come into agreement, every single action. So the people playing the trumpets, the people, the priest carrying the ark, and everyone needed to follow a certain protocol which God has set before them that could then unlock the victory. And in fact, on the 7th day, as they marched, they shouted, they made a shout, and that was the key point for the wall to be broken. And I believe one of the prophetic action is not a shouting. I believe there are times when, you know, personally, I've had time where I'm praying and I want to pray no words. And then just go into the room and just say, ha! And suddenly you feel like you're done. You're just done. I'm just done. Like, no need to pray again. I'm just done. There are moments like that where we need to go and release a shout of victory. And this looks weird, but it is like that. It is good. I love it. I love it. So you can actually see that the sound of the trumpet, that is why we need to trust God. That even as the worship team, as we play, we don't just play for the sake of playing. We don't just play to cover a set of the service. That we play as coming into agreement with what God is about to do. So that that which he wants to establish in the natural, he does establish. In other words, there came a time where I felt the Holy Spirit wanted me to dedicate my voice to the Lord. So I started spending time just praying, Lord, I want you to take my voice so that whenever I have to sing, it doesn't have to do with my own feelings and my desires and my plans, but your will. Bible says when David plays the harp, Saul was free. If you actually read the scripture, he was free emotionally, physically, and spiritually. So I believe there is a place where we have to learn to be intentional with what God has given us. Maybe God did not give you the skill to play an instrument, but maybe you can make a shout. God has given you the ability to walk. God didn't give you the ability to walk just at the park. No, he gave us the ability to walk to fulfill his purposes. Everything that God has given us is to fulfill purpose. That's what David will say. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and everything within me praise his name. In other words, everything in the natural that God has given to us, whether our brain, our mind, our physical body, and everything that we have, has to serve the purposes of God. And I believe these are some of the keys. Like in this moment, these people, they marched together, they sang, they played instrument, and they were able to conquer a territory. Let's go to the next slide. And this is a deliverance case where at the very moment, this is a Jehoshaphat, when he went to the Lord because there was an army fighting against them, and the Lord gave an instruction. And then they started worshiping. At the very moment they began to sing and give praise to the Lord, the Lord caused the armies of Amnon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. This is very interesting. Imagine Americans are coming to fight South Africa. And we start singing here. Forever he is glorified. And suddenly they start fighting each other. How crazy is that? How crazy is that? But this is real. This is the kind of God we believe in. In other words, we as the church, we have the keys, even in terms of the walls in the world. Certain walls we find even in our families, certain troubles, certain situations, we have the keys. Because in heaven, there is no trouble there. The keys to unlock everything was given to the church. But we have to walk in it by acting prophetically, by causing the future, changing the present with an act which is in complete obedience in agreement with what God is saying. Because the Lord does nothing without revealing to you, servant the prophet. In other words, whenever God wants to do something new, he's looking for a man that can agree with. He's looking for a man that is ready to act on it. So if God wants to do something in Cape Town, he will look for a church, for a people that are ready to act accordingly. So in other words, the prophetic action, you actually see the actions of the prophets, actions of the people that are walking in obedience with what God is saying. I think sometimes it's very important for us to understand that in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God is packed with strategies. And one of the strategies is lifting your hands, shouting, playing instruments, walking, jumping, and doing all of that. You'll see Paul and Silas, they were in a cell. The Bible says, as they were singing praises unto God, suddenly there was a breakthrough. They got delivered in prison. Imagine Paul's more there, people are arrested there. Suddenly they start praising the Lord. And suddenly, poo, the gate is open. And they are free suddenly. How crazy would that be? What I'm just saying is these events, sometimes we read them as if they were not real. They were real. In other words, the circumstances around us, we have authority over them. If I can make it even personal, every trouble you have in your life, you have the authority to stop it. You have the authority. Every trouble you have in your life, you have the authority to stop it. Jesus said, whatever you bound on earth, in other words, I love it, in one of the French translations says, whatever you exclude on earth shall be excluded in heaven. And I love it the way Bill Johnson says, whatever you bound on earth that was already bound in heaven shall be bound. Whatever you unlock on earth which was already unlocked in heaven shall be unlocked. So every trouble we face as a people, as a church, as individuals, we have authority. But we need a word from God. You will see that through all the examples that I've given, many times everything started with God saying something. Many times there are many Christians who just operate with the word of God, meaning just reading the Bible, which is great. But I believe we have authority when we operate with the word from God. Very, very important. Because faith comes from hearing what God is saying. And your prophetic action is your action of faith. So it is very important for us to constantly hear what God is saying. To constantly hear what God is saying. Imagine, I often use this example at School of the Nations. When Abraham had to go offer Isaac, the Lord said, go and offer Isaac. Well, imagine if Abraham stopped hearing from God. He could have killed Isaac. But because through the process, he was still a man that was able to hear from God. When the Lord said, stop, don't kill him, he didn't kill him. Many times we kill our Isaacs because we've stopped hearing. We carry on with what we heard in the past, while the Lord wants us to constantly hear, because God is relational. Very, very important. The playing of instruments. I believe even if you're in a band, or even if you're not in a band, you have an instrument at home. That is a powerful tool that you have to unlock many things. Very, very powerful tool to break certain things. One day I was on a training, and there was a guy who was teaching about worship. And he said he went to India, and there was a riot in India. People were protesting. It was crazy. The government couldn't stop it. And as he was teaching, they were doing a certain song in the Indian style. He felt the Lord saying, well, that sound that you are hearing now is the sound that will stop the riots happening in Delhi, in New Delhi. Well, before he started speaking, he told them, well, would you please redo again that song? Because I feel in my spirit that it is that song that will stop the riots in New Delhi. They were like, the government, you know, a lot of them were like, this American guy, what is he trying to do here? But then they sang. Right after that service, on the newspaper, the government, on TV, it was said, well, suddenly they just noticed that this riot stopped. For no reason, nobody, no government, no officials, nothing, no one came and said, you should stop. But there was a song. There was a moment in a service where someone heard from God, and then it became intentional. I believe even in worship, we have to learn to give a direction to our worship. Many times, we just get stuck on the intimate level, my time with Jesus. I believe when we come on Sunday, it's not about my time, it's our time with Jesus. You know, sometimes I say this in the Nations Band, when we come on a Sunday, we lead worship. That's not your devotion time. That's not your time of your devotion. You should have to do your devotion at home. But when we come here, this is a moment where we need to act in faith. It's almost like you're ordering a meal. If you have a child, you're not going to order a meal just based on you. You're going to order a meal depending also on the level of whatever she can eat or he can eat. You know, and remember, God responds to the measure of your faith. And I believe as I come to church, even as we worship, I have to be able, if maybe Emily sings a song which is not necessarily relevant to me in this moment, but I can send it through in the church, maybe to somebody else who's in a season where she needs to say, well, Jesus, you broke, whatever, Jesus, you brought heaven down. my sin was great. Maybe I'm not in sin necessarily, but maybe somebody is struggling with sin. Maybe not here, maybe in the city. Let me send that song into the city. Because then that God will use that as a tool to unlock things in the lives of people. I believe many times we've stopped the well because we do not understand that, well, it has to flow. It has to flow. It has to flow. And it's very important for us to be intentional in the way we act. And one of the keys is playing our instrument and doing praise and worship. Praise and worship is not an entertainment at church. No, it is not a spiritual entertainment. It is not a cover for a time. Praise and worship is actually a tool. We actually see that even the gates of heaven, the Bible says, enter his gate with what? Thanksgiving and praise. You will see many miracles of Jesus. Jesus will give thanks to God, and suddenly there was a miracle. So I would love us to shift a little bit the way we perceive what we do and to see what are the things that God has already given to us to unlock things in the natural and spiritually. Let's go to the next slide. And I love this this story of Jesus with Peter, where, you know, Peter was doing his fishing for a long time and nothing happened. And on that day, Jesus says to him, throw your nets on the right side, on the boat, and you'll find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large amount of fish. Imagine you go to Muesenberg, where people do some fishing or whatever. You arrive there, and they're like, man, you know, we've been struggling. Maybe in Cape Town, there is no fish anymore because they're struggling to get fish. Now, they say, well, we don't know what to do about this. Okay, let maybe go to Shofar on the Bush. There is a prophetess called Emily. Maybe she might have a word for us. Then Emily arrives in Muesenberg. She said, well, cool. So I want you guys to go to the right side and throw your net there. And this is what Jesus actually literally did. Gave a word. And Jesus, in other scriptures, what the other gospels says, Peter said, on your word, I will throw the nets. And as he threw the net, suddenly there was this multiplication. But that was the response to the authority of Christ. And this is the kind of Christianity I want to live. I don't want to just be a church guy, you know. This is also another example. Then he walked over the coffin and he touched it and the burial stopped. Young man, he said, I'll tell you, get up. Then the dead boy sat up and began to talk. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. What is very interesting that I love is that Jesus touched the coffin. One of the prophetic actions is touching as well. And he spoke as well to the child. And the child rose up. You're speaking. God did not give us the speech so that we can just have conversations and chatting. I believe God gave us this thing to fulfill his purposes primarily. In fact, when God created everything, he spoke. And Jesus is called the Word. I believe your speech isn't just to have cool conversations with friends and whoever we love. But I believe everything that God has given to us, we have the authority through our mouth. In fact, the Bible says that life and death, the power of life of death, is on our tongue. What are we doing with our tongue? And one of the powerful tools in the prophetic is the touch. You know, so sometimes we might want to go to a place, the Lord might say, okay, I just want you guys to go and touch the place. As you touch the place, there is a spiritual shift which then manifests in the natural where there is favor in either conquering that place. For example, we have the Memorial Hall, the Jamison Hall. He wants to go there. Great, we prayed, but it's very important for us to also ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want to do to really unlock the breakthrough about this thing? Should we go there? Maybe, or should we go and lay hands there? Should we go and march around there? Is there something that you want to do? Because we must constantly be in the process with God so that we can experience that which God wants to do. You know, some other people, for example, in my case, sometimes when I pray for people, when I lay hands, many times when I'm laying my hands on somebody, many times the Lord then speaks to me. Many times I would go pray for someone. I'm going to be clueless, but until I lay my hands on them, then the Lord starts speaking to me. So it's very important for us God has given us all of these tools to unlock things, even in the natural. Let's go to the next slide, where this was a miracle. This is the anointing. I love this story of Mary. She Bible says she came and she anointed the feet of Jesus. I believe one of the prophetic actions is also the anointing of oil. Very, very powerful. Many times, sometimes we just do things, but it's very important for us to understand that these are some of the tools. You will see in the Old Testament when David was about to be, when Samuel went to anoint David, Bible says, it says that when he anointed him, Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Samuel then went to Ramah. Very interesting that when Samuel just took the little oil on him, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him. Very interesting. And you'll see, even Saul, the king, when Samuel anointed him, things didn't happen exactly in the same way. When King Saul anointed Saul, Bible says he told him, go to a specific place and you will find a company of prophets, of musicians actually. And Bible says, as they were playing, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. We play a massive role. Imagine Jacob Zuma has to become president. Now suddenly we get to a place where he must go and meet a worship team. And as he goes and meet the worship team, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him. I believe as we sing as a church, even as we do worship, we have to get to a place where as we sing, people on the street get Spirit-filled. People in the mall get Spirit-filled. I believe in that. I believe God can do that. Why don't you think like that? Why can't we extend our faith? We can sit here and say, Lord, we want rendezvous, but we have to be intentional. We have to be prophetic. We have to come into a place of agreement with what God wants to do. One of my friends, the way he was anointed by his pastor, one of the guys who brought revival in DRC, is that his pastor told him, I think 3 years before he ordained him, that he was going to be a pastor. He said to him that there will be a church in 3 years' time that will come and ask you to pastor them. And then 3 years later, there was a church that asked him. And suddenly, on his way to his pastor to ordain him, by the time he reached the street where his pastor was staying, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. To the point where he was slain in the spirit. He couldn't even walk on his feet. They had to hold him. And by the time he got to the gate, he was drunk in the spirit completely. And his pastor said to him, I don't even need to organize a service to ordain you. You are already blessed. But why? Because that man took authority over the ground. You will see even in Ramah with Samuel, Bible says there was a spirit of prophecy where even Saul would send guys to kill David. On their way as they arrived, they would start prophesying. Why? Because it took authority. And I believe we need to trust God for that. And this is Old Testament. This is not even the New Testament. And I love also this story as an interesting one of Mary, because this wasn't necessarily, there wasn't a scripture that said she had to go necessarily to anoint Jesus on his feet. But then Jesus, as he went to Bethany, the Bible says, Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment, made pure not and anointed his feet of Jesus and wiped his feet. If you actually read through Matthew and Mark, it speaks about Jesus being anointed on the head by Mary. And in this particular translation, in this particular scripture in John, it speaks about Jesus being anointed on his feet. And according to the custom, it was a custom of hospitality. When somebody will come, they will anoint him. You'll see that, for example, in Psalm 23. Where David said, you set a table in front of my enemies and my cup overflow, and you anoint my head, because that was the custom of hospitality. But then, what is interesting is that, because she is the only person who anointed Jesus through the whole gospel, where the scripture says he was anointed. When she anoints him, if you read in John 12, and you go to verse 12, that is actually when Jesus now, the Bible says on the next day, Jesus was in Jerusalem, and he was received like a king in Jerusalem. I just found that interesting. I'm not saying she went to anoint Jesus as a king. All I'm just saying that the trend of the story is that after she has anointed him, in fact, in Matthew and Mark, there is an emphasis on his burial, on his death, right? Because the spices that were used to make the anointing were some of the same spices used for the perfumes when people were dead. But The interesting fact is the fact that Jesus got anointed by this woman, and on the next day, Jesus in Jerusalem is received like a king. John 12, verse 12. Can someone read for us? Maybe someone might think I'm making up this. Can someone read John 12, verse 12? Where's your Bibles? Cool. I can. Yeah, you can read it. Yeah.
The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel."
This is what happened the next day after Jesus was anointed, which is very interesting. All I'm just saying, in the spiritual realm, I believe there are things that we can do. Let me give you another example. Jesus walks, there is a lady with the shedding of blood. She comes and she touched the cloth of Jesus. Suddenly she's healed. There was no scripture that said, well, if you touch the garment of Jesus, you will be healed. But what I'm learning is this. There are certain things in the kingdom of God that we can tap into through instructions from God. But there are also things that we can tap into through adventure in the kingdom of God. And I believe it's very important for us to get that. As we journey with our Father, the liberty that we find in our faith. Remember the scripture says, when we come to the throne of God, we must come boldly. This lady did not even ask Jesus, "Can I touch your robe?" And suddenly, as she touched him, she got healed. And that's the liberty that we have in Christ, in faith. The liberty of faith. Prophetic action. I believe that was a prophetic action. Very, very important. So, I just want to encourage us to understand that there are shifts that can happen in our environment as we learn to be intentional with the keys that God has given to us. One of them is the anointing of oil. Let's go to the next slide. So, the question that I want to ask you, maybe in the case of Joshua here to get to Israel, my question I'm asking to you, what is the gate that you need to possess? And for us as a church, what are the gates that we need to possess? Because this might just be vague if we do not apply them in our personal journey with God. What is your Jericho? Because Jericho for Joshua represented this thing that was hindering them to enter the promised land and which was already occupied. Is there a specific thing in your personal life that will resemble the trend that you found in Jericho? The Amalekites, these people that just rose up jealous of the people entering the promised land. Is there anything that you feel God has given you a promise? Is there something in your life? Because remember, the Amalekites were very closer to them from the origin. They were cousins, basically. But now, is there anything that perhaps we have inherited culturally that is still the thing standing on the way to hinder us to go where God wants us to go? What is your territory? Because if God gives you a seed, he will give you a territory. God cannot give you a seed without giving you a territory. Multiplication only happens, growth only happens if there is a seed and there is a territory, there is a planting. What is your territory? If you are in the case of this king, how many times will you strike the ground in terms of the area where you believe you are trusting God for a breakthrough? Even as a church, we are trusting to get to Memorial Hall. How many times are we ready to strike the ground? Maybe Peter was a fisherman and he had a net. What will the net represent to you from your own journey with God that you had to throw the nets? And in what direction? Will you play your instrument? If you do have one, will you play your instrument to unlock that which God wants to do? You see, these stories, the Bible says these things were written for our instructions. So I believe we have all of these tools where we have the lifting of hands. I'm not saying all of us must always lift the hands. The Lord might do other things, might ask you to do something else. But what I'm saying is there are certain things that God wants to unlock in our midst. It is very important for us as a church to hear, to have a word from God. Because it is the word from God that really gives us authority. It changes everything. Bible says the name of the Lord is a mighty tower where the righteous found their refuge. You know, I remember growing up with just siblings. We have, you know, I'm the fourth one in my family. There are certain things you can say to your older brother. I want you to give me that. Maybe you can resist. But if you tell him, Dad said, then he knows he's not dealing with you anymore. He'll submit. We do also have a name that has been given to us. A name by which we have authority. The name of Jesus. When we ask in that name, everything is given. It is the name of Jesus Christ is the only way that the Father has made. When the Father answers our prayer, He answers our prayer because of Christ. The demons submit because of the name of Jesus Christ. Not because of how loud we can scream. No, they submit because of the name of Jesus Christ. We bear the mark of Christ. So let's stand. So I would love us to pray with a militant spirit. I think sometimes when we have to be militant, we act as civilians, and that's a problem. I don't know what's going on in your personal life. I don't know what are the giants that you face. I don't know what would Jericho represent to you this morning. Maybe you've already struck the ground, but nothing happened. I don't know if you feel like you've just reached the promised land, but suddenly there is a wall. And you've tried to walk around, nothing happened. But there is hope in Christ. There is hope in Christ. The Lord says, it is not done. So I would love us to take authority over every limit in our lives. And secondly, I want to ask us to ask the Lord, Lord, reveal to me, what is the prophetic action that I need to perhaps do, especially in this thing that I'm walking on a journey with you? You know, I want to encourage us to really pray with passion, because you know what? If you don't pray, nobody's going to pray for you. Right? Nobody is going to pray for you. So I would love us to pray as militant. Maybe you've prayed, great. But maybe you need the prophetic action. Right? We need the prophetic action. So I would love us to pray on a personal level, pray for our families, but at the same time to also pray corporately for a church and pray for the city. And let us, God, let's pray and trust God that He will give us directions so that we can walk accordingly. Maybe the Lord have asked you to strike the ground, but maybe you got spiritually lazy. Maybe ask the Lord, Lord, strengthen me. Strengthen me. Maybe the Lord have asked you to march, not necessarily in the natural, but maybe there is just a laziness in the spirit. Let maybe ask the Lord for that kind of direction. But with a militant spirit, you're going to have to tell whatever is on your way to be removed. All right? Marion, you're going to tell everything to be removed, eh? Great. Cool. So, Emily, please play us some melody. And let's pray as a people of God. Let's pray as a people that are passionate. Let's pray as a people that are really trusting God for such a divine direction. Let's pray.